Hello and welcome. My name is Linda Yates, and I am thrilled that you would take your time to share this audio program with me and to hear about the insight I have to share with you as it relates to energizing your image. This program is a 6-module program, and the purpose of this program is so that you can walk away with a tangible roadmap to improve your image and executive presence. Some of the objectives and the things that you will learn in this program will be the following: what to wear to be more persuasive and polished. So the clothes really make the man or the woman. How to move your body to enhance your communication. How your mindset will create your outcomes. How to stay professional and positive throughout the day. How to keep that energy up and going. And how to get to the point with grace and diplomacy. Let's get started. As I said, this is module 1, and I'm really excited to have you join me. And in order to get started, it probably makes sense for me to share with you a little bit about who Linda Yates, the Image Energizer, really is. I was born and raised in a small town in Declo, Idaho. In fact, I grew up outside that town, and the town population sign says about 306 people, and that changes a little bit from year to year. My graduating class was 18 students. We graduated in the local church. And I had the opportunity to do a lot of different things, try a lot of different things. I am number 5 of 7 children. I was the second daughter. And the reason I share all of this with you is to give you kind of a framework of who I am and what my story is so that you can understand how you came to hitting play with this program. Now, when I say that I was the second girl from 11 years, my older sister talks about how excited she was that I was born and to finally be getting a sister. So I was really fortunate to have loving siblings and loving parents. Unlike maybe some of you that might be listening to this program, I was really blessed with individuals that loved me, and I knew they loved me. An experience happened when I was probably about 10 years old, and we were speaking to a friend of my mom's, and she was commenting about the 3 girls, my 2 sisters and I. And basically, she referred to my little sister as the pretty one. Now, when I heard this, a 10-year-old, for some reason, starts to think that they're not enough. And I'm not sure when that starts to occur, because when we're little, we think we are enough and we've got the world at our hands. But for some reason, this comment really hurt and set me off a little bit, and set me off, quite frankly, on a journey that has been an incredible journey of awareness and exploration and discovery. But I'll get back to that story a little bit later. This first module speaks to your self-image. And so that's why I share kind of the beginnings of this self-image. Now, when we're born and when we're little, as I mentioned, we think we're invincible. And quite frankly, we rely on people to take care of us. We rely on our parents. We rely on someone to change our diapers, to feed us, to keep us happy. But what's interesting about that is, in order to get our needs met, we still have to act. And we have to act by screaming, by squirming. And then as we get a little bit older and can form those words of what it is what we need or what we want, then we can start to speak and ask for those things that we want. So as we become a toddler and as we continue to grow and mature. But what I find fascinating is that when you look at a baby, don't you want to smile? There's something about a baby. And then when that baby sees you smile and can react to your smile, they smile back. And there's joy and there's energy that just goes back and forth. When we're born, we come with records that tell us that nothing is impossible. We don't come into this life thinking that things are impossible. We come into this life excited and wanting to break the barriers in all different aspects. Thus it is with image and our self-image. That is why this first module is critical for us to explore a little bit deeper about what self-image is. As we look at self-image, I want to ask you a couple of questions. First off, let's take stock of where you are at with your own self-image. The first question I would pose to you would be this. What do you like about you? What do you like about you? Think about what that might be. If you're in the car and listening to this, it's probably not a good time to sit down and write those things down. But I would encourage you, and I'm going to encourage you throughout this audio program, to journal. I believe in journaling. I know the power of journaling. And if you will, they could end up being your family's keepsake down the road to understand you and, quite frankly, your generations beyond you. If we think beyond you, your words, your insights may be able to help your posterity. So I would strongly encourage you to write down, what do you like about you? Another question, what do others like about you? So if you were to poll 5 friends and ask them, what do you like about me? What are my strengths? What would those friends say? And if you really want to apply this program to your life to energize your image, go and ask them that. Throughout this program, I'm going to give you challenges and assignments. And if you take them on, you're going to energize your image and you're going to change your life. And if you're a business owner, or even if you work for some other company, you're going to increase your level of professionalism and executive presence, which is probably why you were interested in this program in the first place. So ask others, what do you like about me? And then when they share that with you, send them off an email, reply right back, be very responsive back to that individual and share with them what you like about them. So the trick in this process is not to say, hey, I got to ask you what you like about me. It's an assignment I was given. And then I'm going to tell you what I like about you. No, surprise them by responding in kind. Just ask them and you can tell them, hey, I'm listening to this coach, this speaker. And she said that in order for me to grow in my personal development, I need to ask you what you like about me. So get some feedback from those that you trust and care about their feedback, okay? And be thoughtful about who those people would be, but ask them what they like about you. The next question, what would you like to change? Human nature tells us that we need to change things in ourselves. For some reason, we have this innate ability of comparing our weaknesses to others' strengths. So let me say that again. Comparing our weaknesses to others' strengths. That's not a fair comparison. That is truly not apples to apples or oranges to oranges, if you will. At the end of the day, comparison and comparing ourselves to other is a fruitless effort. Because who are we really competing against, truly? If we want to reach success, if we want to achieve that presence, we need to be competing against ourselves. The next question, what are your values? What do you value? Do you value love and connection? Do you value health? Do you value time? Do you value punctuality? Do you value relationships? What do you value? Work? Play? What are your top values? And if you can narrow those down again to 4 or 5 values, that will be critical. The last question. What would you like to accomplish by the end of the year? Notice I'm not asking you what you would like to accomplish this year, because this might be the first part of the year that you're listening to it, or it might be December 25th that you're listening to this. What would you like to accomplish this year? By focusing on that one thing that you would like to accomplish, then you get really strategic. You get laser pointed, or as Dave Ramsey says, gazelle-like. I love that. Gazelle-like. Getting gazelle-like about our personal development will help us. I know this to be true, that when you work on yourself, your income improves. When you work on yourself, your income improves. If you're a business owner, when you work on your business, work on your business improves. When you work on yourself, your income improves, or your happiness improves. If you're not making an income, or that's not your role in life, but your happiness improves. The more you work on yourself, the happiness or success improves, or work on your business, it will improve. All right, after you've answered these questions, hopefully it will give you some insight and awareness for you to realize how incredible you are. Did you know that there are 75 trillion cells that make up your cellular structure? And hopefully that didn't sound like cells, because if it did, that's my Idaho accent coming out, which I'm really grateful. I was born and raised in Idaho, but I'm talking about cellular cells. So hopefully that came across well to you. 75 trillion cells that make up the incredible you. That's how amazing and vast and really cool you are. The more that we can tap into what makes us uniquely us, the more that we can value ourselves, the more successful we become. Your self-image will predict your level of success. Let me say that again. Your self-image will predict your level of success. Just as your ability to love another is only to the degree that you can love yourself. If you want to be able to show more love and you want to have more love in your life, then working on yourself, working on how you see yourself, how you view yourself, doing those things that will increase your self-image. That's why this first element is so critical. Now to continue on with my story. As I mentioned, the comment about my younger sister being the pretty one. And I think she referred to my older sister as being the smart one. So I'm not really quite sure where I fit. And maybe she didn't refer to me since I was standing there. But as I said, this really impacted me. So by the time I was 12 and starting to come to the age of a gangly teenager, it was a real pivotal time for me. I was really fortunate that I had met in our very small area and through my church, a woman that was a leader that had responsibility for me. She taught me in church in a part of the young women's program that I was at the age of 12. And this woman had joined a company that was a multi-level networking company. And I didn't really know anything about multi-level networking companies at age 12. And quite frankly, I wasn't really familiar with them in the area I was from. But that was beside the point. But the product that she had, she shared with us and taught us some things in our youth group about skincare. That was my first foray into image, with skincare and how important it is to take care of this epidermis, the skin, this gift of our body. And as we went through this, we did the skincare, we did facials one night in this activity, and I just loved it. Now, she didn't do makeup. And what was interesting about this is at the time, my mom, again, I was one of seven children, and she got married in her teenage years, had her first child by, I think, 20. And she never finished her college education. She never got a college degree. But she decided after, like, into her 40s that, you know what, she was going to go back to school. And what was fascinating, too, about that experience is as she went back to school, she had worn glasses. And I'm not talking thin, stylish glasses, but really thick, bottle, end of the bottle type looking glasses. And in her 40s, one of my older brothers was getting contacts because he was a teenager and needed glasses, and she took him to get contacts. And I remember being there with her on this appointment, and she asked the eye doctor, "Am I too old to get contacts?" Can you imagine that now? Someone asking that now. But at that time, that was maybe a little bit pushing the edge. But am I too old to get contacts? And he said, "Heavens no, Joy," and Joy is her name. And so she got contacts, and that began to change her world and her life and her self-esteem. She never wore makeup to that point in time. She didn't really need makeup, but she never wore makeup because she wore glasses. Now, she's a horsewoman. She's competed in rodeo events and was raised riding horses and ranching. She's a rancher's wife, as well as my father was a superintendent of schools. But getting contacts changed her life into the point, too, that she was going back to school to get her education completed. She wanted to be a teacher. She was a music teacher. She taught piano as a side business. So very industrious and taught. I mean, I think she had maybe at one point 80 students, I want to say, piano students as a side business. But she decided to go back to school. Now, the nearest college for her to get a university four-year degree at was about 70 miles from our home. And again, I lived in Idaho. So in the winter, those roads got really bad, and there was a couple scary incidences and actually one experience where she almost died by going off the road. But she went back to school, and her life going back to school, getting contacts, changed. And I remember even seeing her self-image change and become stronger and more confident. And what a gift that was to me as well. So I share that with you about my mom, because I was talking about this young women's leader who was giving us this demonstration on skincare, to let you know that at age 12, I was starting to sneak in, probably at age 11, I must admit, I would sneak into my mom's cupboard in her bathroom. And she didn't have a lot of makeup, but what makeup she had, I pulled it out and I started using it, and I'd wear it to school because I wasn't allowed to wear makeup to school. Again, she really started wearing makeup, and she was in her 40s. Okay. Even though my older sister did wear makeup, but you know, a young girl, a 12-year-old, no way. So I would sneak it wearing makeup going to school. So having this experience with the skincare product. And then as I got to know this young women's teacher, this youth group teacher, her name is Jeannie. As I got to know Jeannie, she started telling me about this company that she was selling this makeup and skincare line for. And she said, "Linda," she says, "maybe you ought to look at it or go to this thing." I'm like, "Oh, that sounds interesting." And so I asked my mom and dad if I could, and I started becoming a junkie at age 12 to seminars and personal development. So I'm a big believer in personal development. So that's where this journey starts. But as I went into those courses and I began to learn and understand makeup and skincare, and also I went through courses to understand line and wardrobe and what colors to wear with what to enhance your natural look and your skin and your hair. I became extremely fascinated with all of this. And I started to sell. And I did face designs where I would do makeup. And in fact, one event I did, I think, 60 girls makeup for the prom that night. Exhausted, but what a great, powerful experience in that. All of these things helped me build my self-image. Now, it wasn't just about the makeup. It wasn't about the clothes. It wasn't about the things that I was learning, but it was because I was progressing and adding to my knowledge, having experiences, and realizing that I could change the way I saw myself and others saw myself. Also, throughout this experience, I started speaking. I actually started speaking when I was 4. That was the first talk I ever gave, my first public address to a crowd. And I struggled with saying words, certain words. Ambulance was one word. In fact, I think I still said it right? But I would say, I think ambulance or something. So I was self-conscious about the way I spoke as well. All these aspects were a part of who I was and what I wanted to overcome in this vision that I saw. I had great role models of what it was that I saw. Now, executive presence is an interesting aspect because in some ways it's hard to define or describe, but when you see it, you know it. And you may be looking for that executive presence. Executive presence is that presence that when you walk into a room, people notice. And it's not because of the clothes that you're wearing or that attention that you call to yourself, but there's a grace, there's a confidence, there's a posture, there's a stature that comes as you enter that room for executive presence. All of those aspects are part of creating your self-image and tapping into your self-image. So let me give you some tools in order to increase your self-image and how to build your self-image. One of the ways I've kind of spoken about already is knowledge. And you're already on the path. You are what they would say in the top 1% because you took time to listen to this program and have that desire to improve your life, to improve your presence, to improve your situation. Also, in order to build your self-image, you have to get rid of victim, villain, and old story mentality. Now, what do I mean by that? First, victim mentality. Victim mentality is, I lost my job. I am a victim. They were no good. Okay, that's where they then become the villain. Or this just happens to me all the time. Now you're repeating the same old story over and over again. You have to get rid of those things in order to improve your self-image and in order to improve your confidence. You don't want to be a victim. You don't want to be a villain or see others as the villain. And you don't want to keep repeating same old stories. Each day is a new day for you to embrace and grow and receive the beauty that is in this world for you to receive. The world is open to you. Nothing is impossible for you. Anything is possible. What if? What if everything were possible that you ever dreamed? That can happen. It may take time, it may take work, it may take some resources, but that can happen. I know it can happen. I've seen it happen in my own life. Some ways to build your self-image are I am statements. I am that I am. For those of you that have maybe spent a little bit of time reading in the Holy Bible, in the Old Testament, you're going to see that. I am that I am. I am. If you are already something, you already exist. You're a phenomenal creation of 75 trillion cells. You're already that creation. Wayne Dyer speaks about I am statements. I have implemented I am statements, and I have seen my clients implement them as well, and I've seen the power that they give. You want to make I am statements. Get a 3x5 card out, and I am whatever I am statement is empowering to you. For instance, if you seek to be out of debt, or you seek financial resources in your life, I am a money magnet. I am a money magnet. You write that down on that 3x5 card. You look at it a couple of times a day, even 3 times a day. You say that. You're going on a workout. You're doing a run. You're walking. You're biking. Say your I am statements. If you struggle with health, I am perfect health. I want you to try this for at least 1 week and see how your confidence increases, how your mind becomes clearer, and how possibility will open up for you. Whatever your I am statements, you want them to be empowering to you. If you're trying to grow in your business, you're trying to find more customers, I am a marketing machine. Maybe that's an I am statement that you want to use. There's lots of different I am statements because they're all unique to you. What I am statement could empower you right now? I am perfect health. I am laughter. Do you need to laugh more in your day? Find more humor in things. I am productive. I am organized. Do you need to declutter your life or your business? I am a customer service maverick. You want customer service to be higher on your priority list? I am. Write down these statements. Put them on a 3x5 card. Look at them a few times a day, especially look at them first thing in the morning, first thing in the evening. As you implement these positive affirmation statements and you implement them for 100 days, nonstop, and it's okay if you forget a day, you just keep going, they will become part of your subconscious. And when they are in your subconscious, they will become part of your conscious life. Those things will come to you. Let me share an experience with you of how I've seen this happen in my life. I had the opportunity when I was a young professional to travel throughout the state that I was living in, speaking to university students about a professional program. Now, this was in the late 80s, early 90s. Cell phones were around, but cell phones were a lot different than they are today. They were these huge, what they called bricks. And they did look like a brick. In fact, if you threw it, it would damage a major window. And they were long. They had this big, long antenna. They were this big, gray, heavy, bricky phone. I also, because I was on university business, had the opportunity of having a university car and an expense account. Laptops were around. They were very expensive, so I didn't really have a laptop to utilize, but there were some people that did. And I remember going and speaking to different universities to the students about the potential of them getting into this professional program, and inspiring them, motivating them, and, you know, cheering them on that they could get this done and hit this goal and this objective in their life. And I loved it, because I loved meeting new people. I loved seeing the lights go on for them, seeing the lights go on that, wow, they could do this. They could really achieve this. I love that. I love that experience. And I love speaking to a live audience as well and feeling their energy and seeing that energy and those light bulbs click that, wow, what if I could do that? I love that. I love that. Well, through that experience, I remember writing down some goals of that someday I would have a cell phone of my own. Someday I would have a laptop of my own. And someday I would have the opportunity to travel all over. Now, when I wrote those goals down, there was a part of me that thought, okay. Will that really ever happen? That's not my life. That's not my current situation now. Will that really ever truly happen? But as time went on, and not very many years later, all three of those things occurred. I ended up with my own cell phone. I ended up with my own laptop. And I ended up traveling to more places than I ever could have imagined. Because I planted that seed, that I am statement. So if you want executive presence and you want to energize your image and you want more success and you want more business to come to you, and you want to be thought of as a thought leader, writing these I am statements down on 3x5 cards and reviewing them at least 3 times or at least 2 times a day. And a very minimalist, at least 1 time a day, but 3 times a day is optimal. That's your prescription. I'm not a doctor. Let me clarify that. Disclaimer, I'm not a doctor. But I know what has worked for me and I know what has worked for my clients. So I would encourage you to implement the I am statements. I've given you a lot of assignments already on this module. So hopefully you're not feeling overwhelmed. But we're laying the groundwork for some great information through the next few modules. The next solution that I would give you in helping build your self-image is turning negative comments and thoughts to positive affirmations. Negative comments. Someone makes maybe a negative comment about you. Oh, you're wearing that? Turning that around into a positive affirmation. Wow, so-and-so even noticed me. Now you may be laughing, but again, turning that mindset to a positive way is what you have time and energy for. You don't have time and energy for negative thoughts. When I say no to you, no, energy completely goes down. When I say yes to you, energy automatically comes up. You want more yeses, more yays in your life. Yay, yay. Not no or nay, nay. You want yay. Yay! Yes. Turning negative thoughts into positive affirmations. Catching what you say to yourself. If you say to yourself, oh, I'm not good enough. Or, oh, I'll probably fail. Or, oh, why did I do that? That was really dumb. Instead, turning those around and saying, turning it to, I am good enough. Lesson learned. How fascinating. Staying in curiosity. A speaker I had an opportunity to hear several years ago, he and his wife wrote a book, Benjamin Zander, wrote a book called The Art of Possibility. The Art of Possibility. Benjamin Zander is a conductor in Boston for, I think, the Youth Philharmonic Orchestra. And as he spoke, he talked about giving everybody an A, because he's a teacher, giving everybody an A automatically and letting them know that they already have an A with you. Again, that positive affirmation. He also spoke about when things go wrong or amiss throughout the day, or, you know, stuff that happens. Someone cuts you off. Instead of getting really irritated and turning to this negative state, saying, "How fascinating," turns that completely around, getting in curiosity. Why is it that they're doing that? Wonder what's going on with them that they have had a bad day. I know Stephen Covey talks about a story of a man that was on a subway headed home late one night, or actually I think it was a Sunday afternoon. And there was another man there with several kids, and these kids were pretty rambunctious and not very well behaved. And the father, it appeared to be the father of these kids, just seemed to not really care and really wasn't interested in what was going on and really just disassociated himself, just kind of was disengaged. And as this man was like getting frustrated with his kids, he finally said something to this man that whose kids they were acting up. And he said to them, he made a comment. He said, I'm sorry. Their mother just passed away. And I guess they're not quite sure how to handle that. Wow. So instead of getting irate, because you don't know what's going on with other people in their life, you're not walking in their shoes, not having their experiences, get in curiosity. The more you get in curiosity, the more opportunity you have for incredible moments, incredible learning, incredible opportunity by staying in curiosity, by staying positive with those positive affirmations. Can you do that? Can you implement that? I would challenge you that if you do so, that also can change your life. Positive talk. I like myself. I am enough. Looking yourself in the mirror and talking about the things you love. Years, many, many years ago, I read this great book, and she talked about this exercise called the golden mirror exercise. Looking in this beautiful golden mirror and really, truly loving yourself. Now, some of you may be saying, okay, well, you're not looking at what I see in the mirror. And you know what? That's, In fact, I have another story I'd like to share with you about that. I was at a book club event with some friends probably 20-something years ago. And at this event, one of our friends who was there, we were talking about beauty and self-image and how you see yourself. And this one friend made the comment that she wasn't beautiful. And I stopped right there. I said, "What? You're not beautiful?" She says, "Yeah, I'm not beautiful. And I'm okay with that." And then another friend said to her, she said, "Well, Susan was her name. Susan, you have three incredible children. And beautiful children. Do you think they're beautiful?" She says, "Oh, yes, absolutely. My kids are beautiful." And so I said to her, I said, "Well, they look just like you." And she's like, "Linda, I'm not beautiful and I'm okay with that." That experience really haunted me for a long, long time. And through that experience, I realized that it doesn't matter what we say to others, but what they see in themselves is what will come out to the rest of the world. So if you want to change your reality, you need to change your perception. Your perception becomes your reality. You are beautiful. You started out beautiful, and experiences can even make you more beautiful. It's like a fine wine that ages. And I'm not suggesting that everybody goes and lines up to the cosmetic surgeon. That's not what I'm saying. But there is beauty within us all, And if there's beauty that we need to cultivate more, then we do that. And I encourage you to do that. But your self-image is critical to your success. So turning negative comments and thoughts to positive affirmations. You may be struggling with something. So you go back to, I got this. I got this. That's a very positive affirmation. Because you can handle it. You can handle anything. How have you handled things that are hard things in the past? Think about those times that you've had to handle some major struggle. You can handle it. Things come and they will chip away and they'll dig at your self-image. But knowing you can handle it is empowering. And what you tell yourself will be what will happen. What you perceive becomes your reality. Those are all a part of the aspects of how you build a self-image, a healthy self-image. I'm not talking about being prideful, but really truly knowing what makes you incredible. Now, circumstances may come, and I talked a little bit about being a victim and how they may come at you and impact you. And in fact, there was a young girl who was born into poverty. She was abused, sexually abused. By the time she was 9, multiple times. By the time she was 14 years old, she had had a child out of wedlock. This child died. This woman could have said, wow, I'm a victim. I'm not good enough. This is my lot in life. But this woman didn't. This woman decided to not only survive, but to thrive. In fact, this woman is worth over $1 billion. And if you don't know who I'm referring to, this woman is Oprah Winfrey. If someone had said to Oprah when she was 9, you're not the pretty one, and she believed them, she wouldn't have had the incredible experiences that she has had. And quite the most important thing is not just about what happened to her individually, but wow, look at the people that she's blessed throughout her life, because she didn't become a victim. She didn't keep playing old records, old stories. She didn't let villains, or she wasn't the villain or wasn't villainized. She became empowered, and she is now empowering millions of people. Think about the incredible good that this woman has done. That's as an extreme case. Hopefully you haven't had such major tragedy in your life. As I mentioned, I just heard a little comment that kind of set me on my path. But our perception changes our reality. You have the power within you to be able to do that. Now, the secret to a healthy self-image would be how to protect your image. When disappointments come, and they do, they come, they're going to come. This is a life experience, and that's part of the beauty of life, is it gives us an opportunity to grow. But how we keep our self-image in a positive way, a positive, empowered, and successful way, and moving forward, is by how we get back up after we fall down. We got to get back up, got to get back on the horse. In fact, I mentioned to you that my mother is a horsewoman. I had the opportunity as well to ride horses, grew up riding horses. I grew up also competing in rodeo events. And what a great way to grow up. What a wonderful way to grow up with a horse and experiencing horses. My favorite horse's name, and the horse that I rode and competed on, her name is Gypsy May. She is a beautiful quarter horse, sorrel color. Sorrel is, it's not like maple syrup. It's lighter than that. It's not, sorrel is just a beautiful color. She is just a beautiful, beautiful horse. How I Love Gypsy May. But when I was probably about 10, 8 years old, 9 years old, something like that, one spring afternoon, my brother and I think there was another sibling or even maybe a cousin that was visiting, we were out riding a couple of horses in the pasture, and I was actually on Gypsy May's mom, who was named Buzzy May. Buzzy May wasn't as tall as Gypsy May, but Buzzy May was a beautiful horse as well, and gentle. Very gentle. She was the kid horse that my mom always let all the kids ride on. Anyway, we were out riding in a pasture at my parents', and this pasture had cows that would hang out in it, and the cows weren't currently in it, but the cows leave little droppings of little piles. And we were riding around in this pasture, and as we were riding around in this pasture, we started to trot a little bit. You know, we like to go fast. We're kids, and I was riding bareback. Bareback means without a saddle, for those of you that aren't familiar with that. So I didn't have a saddle on, just was riding bareback. And there were these little coverts in the pasture. The coverts were like the irrigation system, so that they could water the pasture to keep the pasture green so that the cows could feed on it, you know, and it became part of, you know, pasture feeding for the cows. Well, as I was riding along, we started trotting, and then we started loping, and we came to one of these coverts, and loping is running faster or canter. We started running, and we came to one of these coverts, and Buzzy May jumped over it, you know, like a little, you know, like an obstacle, like, woo, flew over it. And she bucked. She bucked the back. She bucked once. I stayed on. She bucked a second time, and I stayed on. But she bucked a third time, and I went off. Now, as I said, I was riding bareback. And so as I went off, my arm landed in one of these, you guessed it, cow pies. Or pile of manure, or crap. Or stuff. My arm landed in it. My elbow went into it. And I was so mad. I got up. And I'm like, and I went marching into my mother. She was actually teaching a piano lesson at the time. And I told her, I said, that stupid horse bucked me off. And I was crying. And my pride was hurt. And I was angry. And my mom said to me and taught me a lesson that day that still teaches me so much, and I'm so thankful for it. She said, Linda, you go back right now and get right back on that horse. I'm like, but, I don't care. You go back on and you get right back on that horse. My dear friends, when life throws stuff at you and you get bucked off, you got to get back on. So when things come at you and they scratch at your self-image, or they dig at you a little bit here or there, you got to get back on. You are the only person that can overcome you. You're the only person, and no one has to tell you it's okay. You are the person that gets to say it's okay. You are in charge of your destiny. We have no control in this world. We may think we have control, and maybe when our kids are young, if we have kids, we have maybe some control over them. But really, truly, at the end of the day, the only control there is self-control. You have the power to get back on the horse when you get knocked off or when you get bucked off. Your self-image is yourself. That is the secret to a healthy self-image. It's getting back on after you've got bucked off of something. Some disappointments come, some trials come, some hard thing has happened. Unfairness, tragedy. You can push through it. You can realize your potential. You can achieve the executive presence that you desire in order to succeed. It is all up to you. You are more incredible than you can give yourself credit for. The possibilities are endless for you. As I realized this, as the beginning I told you, kind of my journey of starting down this path, working with mostly women initially on their image. But then as I started speaking at conferences, and actually as I was speaking, I started speaking at conferences when I was a teenager. I was speaking actually to other teenagers throughout the state of Idaho. I was really blessed being raised in such a small town, but I had a lot of opportunities to test and explore talents that I have. Really, truly blessed. How thankful I am for that blessing. But I had the opportunity to speak to groups. And as I said, it's really fun seeing that possibility start to ignite in people's eyes. I realized that that was one of my gifts. That was one of my talents, was helping others see their talents and the possibilities within them. And that through our self-image gives us the power to achieve all of the other goals that we want to achieve. If you have fears that you are struggling with or things that you think you can't do, getting through that, breaking those barriers and turning those stumbling blocks into stepping stones will help you increase your self-image, will help you achieve the goals that you desire. Now, in our other modules, we're going to cover and explore different aspects of executive presence, but I wanted to really delve deeply into your self-image and how important that is for you in order to achieve the self-image that is there. Those 75 trillion cells that make up the incredible you, they're all a part of you in order to explore what your potential is. Remember, each of us came into this world beautiful. Each of us came into this world with not putting limits on ourselves. And it was only through experiences or others' comments that started to put limits on ourselves. So the more that you can undo those shackles and become free, put it behind you. Put that victim mentality, that villain mentality, or stop playing those old stories. Put them behind you and start moving forward. You will be able to realize more than you ever thought enough. A recap for you. Talk to people. Write down what it is you like about yourself. Ask again those people some of your strengths and then immediately share with them those strengths you see in them. That's just goodwill. That's just good karma. That's just great energy. Writing I am statements. I am confident. I am enough. I am amazing. I am perfect health. Whatever those statements need to be for you, review them. Look at them several times a day, at least once a day. Turn negative comments and thoughts into positive affirmations. Start speaking positively about yourself. Watch your words. If you have negative words coming out of your mouth, stop, change them. You have the power to be able to do that. What you perceive becomes your reality. It's So if you need to change your reality, change your perception. Change your perception. And lastly, when you get bucked off, get back on. Now, you may be listening to this in the car. So you, if you're like me, you're going to probably want to jump to the next module. And because that's what people do that are interested in developing themselves. And as I shared with you in the beginning, when you work on yourself or you work on your business, your bottom line improves. So if you do, great. But I would encourage you to take some time to journal. That will help you realize the success that you're seeking to achieve. Journaling will give you such power, such incredible power. All right, in the next module, we're going to talk about how the body translator. So what exactly is the body translator? And how does your body impact your executive presence? And how can you energize your image with this actual body, this temple that you've been given and blessed to have? And how can you utilize it in the best ways possible? So I hope that you are ready to go onto this journey into module number 2. Thank you for joining me on this journey in module number 1 of 6 steps to energize your personal brand. Look forward to seeing you on the next module. And I want you to remember that you can uncover, realize, and accomplish your potential because nothing is impossible. I know that as you implement the things that we've chatted about in this module, that you can uncover, realize, and accomplish more than you ever thought possible, because I truly believe that nothing is impossible. We'll see you on the next module.